The passage from Thessalonians reminded me, as I was preparing for the sermon this week, of an incident that I had with little Jacob, who's now 13, by the way, when he was a baby. And he couldn't have been any more than 6 months old. And I was living in Haliburton, Ontario. And they were living in Pembroke. I don't know if you know where Pembroke is, Petawawa. My son-in-law was in the forces there. Anyhow, they let me babysit Jacob. He couldn't have been any more than 6 months old, anyhow. So as it happened, he started to cry, and he kept on crying. And I have a very clear memory of going into the room, and he had his little foot caught in the crib rail. So I went in, and I got him, and I picked him up, and I put him on my knee. And he, see, at 6 months, they can kind of make strange, right? But he leaned into me, and he let me stroke his lovely red hair. And I told him it was okay and that Grandma was there. And he didn't fight. He didn't pull away. He didn't squirm. He freely accepted the comfort that I was giving him. And it struck me that he was a receiver of love. I was the giver, and he was the receiver. And this is exactly the same relationship that God has with us. God wants to offer comfort when we're afraid, when we get our foot caught, when we're trapped, when we are lonely, when we are depressed and full of anxiety. God wants us to sit on his lap, lean into him, and receive his love. As we age, I don't know why, but we seem less able to be receivers of love. We cease to be as little children. We put up walls, we build fences, anything we can do to protect us. The difficulty is that as we age, we cease to cling tightly to the Lord. That's from Joshua. We listen to the voices that say, big boys don't cry, keep a stiff upper lip, grow up, stop acting like a baby, and I love this one, don't cry over spilt milk. I'm not too sure where that one came from. And those voices stay with us, and they become tapes or CDs or cyber things, preventing us from becoming again like little children. And Jesus often used children as examples of how to receive and be loved by God. He emphasized having a childlike faith, humble, sincere, trusting, and receptive to love. This theme of being receptive and open to receiving God's love and guidance runs through all of Paul's letters. In Galatia, Ephesus, Corinth, Rome, and Thessalonica, Paul offers practical advice on how to be a Christian community. But underlying this is the spirituality of receiving. Paul explains that the nature of Christian community is that we have been showered with God's kindness, chosen for his greatness, showered with God's kindness, chosen for his greatness, marked with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit's power, freed from sin and bondage, and brought near to God. God showers us with kindness, chooses us, puts his mark on us, and fills us with his Spirit. If we are unable to receive these divine gifts, then how can we possibly live and work for his glory? And I've said this before, the thing with a gift, if you don't open it, is just a box with a pretty ribbon on it. We will be working and operating from our own will and strength. And in my own life, I have found that that leads to frustration, anxiety, depression, and unhappiness. When we are unable to receive as little babies do, then I guarantee you that we will live our lives in misery, unhappiness, lacking in joy, discouraged, and dejected. And that is not what as Christians we are called to do and be. We need to always remember that we have been hardwired, designed to be receivers of God's love, mercy, and grace. And Paul explains that God chose us to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour his anger on us, but that we could live with him forever. God is not angry at us. We struggle in community, in our families, in our countries, and in the world to live peacefully, always being joyful, being thankful in all circumstances, and never stop praying. We find it difficult sometimes to encourage another, to build each other up. And Paul gives us a clue when he writes that we do not belong to the darkness and the night, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world. We are children of the light and of the day. We are children of light. We are eternally connected to the beginning, when after creating the heavens and the earth, God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. From the beginning of time, God spoke our existence into the light, and he gave us Jesus, the light of the world. And the Apostle John affirms the truth of God's light in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and are now reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. As children of light, living and walking in the light, which is God, gives rise to a deep intimacy with one another and deep, genuine friendships, honest communications, and good times with each other. When we live in God's light, nothing is hidden. We don't have to cover up anything. We can then be real in front of God and with each other. Just think about that. How awesome is that? We can relax. We can receive and enjoy God's presence among us. We can turn on the light of God in our personal clutter and mess and let God get involved in our lives. Children of light can fearlessly look at the things we think are hidden, knowing whatever our heart, self-accusation makes us feel guilty and condemns us, that he is above all and greater than our conscience. The word promises that God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour his anger out on us. God doesn't condemn us. He convicts us, for sure, of wrongdoing, and this conviction helps us repent and be lifted out of our problems. The thing with condemnation, it only pushes us down and makes us feel bad about ourselves. We don't have to feel bad about ourselves. We are children of light. God does not condemn us. How could God condemn us? God does not bring charges against us. Jesus does not denounce us. Jesus died in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And that is really good news, for it frees us to receive and be transformed from glory to glory into children of light. And Paul says in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? The challenge this week is to meditate, to think, to talk aloud, and pray. It's your challenge this week, so that God will reveal to you how much you are loved. Spend time in the Word. I encourage you to know and believe God's love for you. Meditate on and speak about God's love that he expresses to you in his love letters, which is Scripture. That's God's love letter to us. Give yourself the gift this week. Open up your Bible. And every day, you know, you get a little piece of Scripture that you can look at and think about, followed by a prayer. Start with 1 John 4:16. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. You know, I used to write, when I went through some hard times, I used to write Scripture on Post-it notes, and I would put it on my bathroom mirror so I could remember them. And I've gone through hard times, and I'm still, even with COVID, I too am feeling the anxiety that everybody else is feeling. Commit a verse to memory and repeat it often. And notice how the world is a brighter place. People are not so awful. And God really does love us. Put on a new set of clothes, a jacket of faith, a shirt of love, and a hat of salvation. And ask God, like the pleading widow, to help you receive grace and love. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. And may he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again with all his holy people. Amen.